So just exactly what is prayer? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Think of a heavenly Father who has loved us and cares for us and provides for us and saved us through the blood of his Son, invites us to come and calls us to talk to him. That's what prayer is. It's talking with God. To never do that really says we don't care to know you, O Lord, or say thank you for all that you've done.
Indeed, prayer can be a challenge for some of the best of us, but it is something that has been given to us, a great blessing, a great gift, to be able to talk to the God of this universe. We'll talk about that today here in studio as Pastor Chris joins us in studio on today's edition of Abounding Grace. We'd invite you to join us, spend some time with us, as we understand just exactly what prayer is, how to pray, and we'll find encouragement along the way to do just that. Let's get started, shall we? So as we begin our time together today, we want to spend some time looking at prayer. But to do that, we need to lay down a bit of a foundation. We realize that we have a lot of listeners who understand the Reformed faith, the Reformed perspective, some of the quote-unquote traditional church elements that the Reformed church uses. But there are an awful lot of you tuning in today and recently who are sitting here with questions. So what is this Reformed faith stuff? So to understand prayer from where we're coming from, you need to understand where we're coming from. Chris, with that in mind, we're going to refer to something today called the Heidelberg Catechism. Could you, for our listeners, give us a thumbnail sketch of some of the documents that we use in the Reformed perspective and why? And especially as we get going today on prayer, why it is so important for us? What is the significance of what a lot of folks call just dry, stuffy documents? What's wrong with the Bible? Why can't we just use the Bible, right?
Right. I mean, this is an important question to begin with. Anyone who's listened to Abounding Grace for, you know, any matter of time knows that we often refer to the confessions of our faith, and that's important. Every church has one. If they don't, run. In other words, they have a statement of what they believe. And sometimes they're so watered down and minimalistic that the problem with them is it's not what they say, it's what they don't say, right? There's just not enough content there to know what a church believes. But anyone who cares about the truth should care a lot about what a church believes and what a pastor believes. And one of the things that has helped us, especially at the time of the Reformation, and this is the challenge today, is that we're so far removed from the Reformation, a lot of people don't even know what it is. And, you know, when people start learning their historical roots, that there were Christians who lived before them, and they put down what they believe, all that is meant to be a great help to us so that we don't commit the same errors. I mean, we know the little axiom that those, right? The axiom that's famous in our time. And we know that those who forget their history are doomed to repeat it, right?
Right, exactly.
And what about those who forget their doctrine? They're doomed to repeat the errors that once were corrected. And that's the beauty of the confessions of Christianity. Time of the Reformation, the Bible was given back to the people. It was translated into to their modern tongue and their language. And what happened was these people were so excited, they wanted to summarize what they believed. So very important people who were pastors wrote down under the direction of church leaders and others, wrote down what they believe. And one of those documents is the Heidelberg Catechism, written in 1563, that was meant to cover a complete system of Christian doctrine within the course of a year, so that Christians who had never read the Bible and didn't know the basic truths of the Bible could go through it in the course of a year and understand the Christian faith. And I would say, Andy, that in our day, we need this more than ever. We have so heard that little statement, no creed but Christ, which, by the way, is a creed. It's something you believe.
Yes, it is.
You know, the importance of what we believe needs to be recovered. What we're finding today is Christians don't even know the basics of the faith. So the Heidelberg Catechism, I see this all the time. When people get a hold of this, it wasn't Rome that wrote the creeds and confessions. It was Protestants who wrote the creeds and confessions to help Christians understand what they believe and why they believe what they believe. And one of those crucial teachings in the Heidelberg, in the section on gratitude, how we live thankfully before the Lord, is prayer. Well, I think anyone would acknowledge that if there's anything we need more of today to put into practice, it's prayer in the Christian life. And at the end of the Heidelberg Catechism is all this wonderful instruction on prayer. So we'll start there today. And think of what this says in Lord's Day 45. Again, you have the whole course. Lord's Day is a Sunday, the whole course of a year. And on the 45th one, why do Christians need to pray? What a great question. Why do you need to pray, Andy? Here's the answer. Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us, and also because God gives his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking God for them. You know, there's so many wonderful things that are said there, but the first thing is why is prayer important? Because it's your way of telling God thank you. If you have an earthly father who's given you everything and been kind to you and loved you and flooded you with all kinds of good gifts and done everything imaginable good for you, wouldn't it be a terrible thing if you never spoke to him?
That would be horrible. Yeah.
That would be tragic, wouldn't it? That would be the height of unthankfulness. And that's the same thing. Think of a heavenly father who has loved us and cares for us and provides for us and saved us through the blood of his son, invites us to come and calls us to talk to him. That's what prayer is. It's talking with God. To never do that really says we don't care to know you, O Lord, or say thank you for all that you've done. So that's one of the basic motivations. I think that's what has to be recovered today, first and foremost, is the motivation to pray. When the disciples asked Jesus about prayer, they wanted to know, you know, how to pray and what should the content of prayer be. I think first and foremost today, we need to get back to why do Christians need to pray? J.C. Ryle said in his time years ago that few Christians pray. Few Christians talk to God. And I think that's generally true. I think prayer is a neglected discipline in the life of the Christian today. And it is meant to be an act of communion between you and God, whereby he helps you and gives you grace and strength. So notice what's said here, Andy, that when we pray, God does something for us. God gives his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray and groan continually and groan inwardly. How hard is life? You know, when it comes to sanctification, this is one struggle, isn't it? We're up and down. And God gives us this avenue to talk to him. And as we express, I mean, think of what Peter said, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. When you go and talk to your heavenly Father and you have that direct access to him because of the blood of Jesus, God is promising you grace and help. Now, I have many passages here to unpack to show that and to encourage the listener in prayer. But I think oftentimes, you know, think of the song we sing, Andy, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That is generally true.
You're touching on something that is really needful in our time today. We fail to realize the access that we actually have to God. And I think we tend to go around it backwards. We get the cart before the horse more often than not, which makes our prayer life that much more disjointed and erratic and sporadic.
Here's how I know Christians aren't praying as the scriptures call us to pray today. Listen to the praise music in most worship services. I know that touches on a very sensitive subject, but if you listen to the endless repetition and lack of substance in the songs in corporate worship today when people come, it's all about an emotional high. It's all about revving up the emotions, but it's if you listen to the content, if you're really taking in the content, not much is said. And I think that's what's so amazing about the Psalter. The Psalter, the psalm book in the Old Testament, are the prayers recorded of God's people that they would sing. And if you listen to those songs, the greatest growth that we see from the saints in the Old Testament was when they were in the valleys. when they were in the hardships of life. Now, you made a point that it would be great if we prayed in every circumstance of life. And when things are going well, if we could cultivate that and pray regularly, that is a discipline in our lives that we should be doing, but it's difficult. The reason that God often brings us through valleys is so that we would depend upon Him more. And the reality is that when I'm in the valley, when my face is on the ground, when I've been humbled, when I'm facing something I can't handle, as we talked about a few times ago, that's when those cries take on a whole new character to the Lord. They're deep felt, heartfelt, sincere pleas. And that's what the Lord loves from us. So notice in the Psalter, Andy, that we get these, what we call laments. Now, I've never heard a modern day worship service begin with, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I never heard that. That's Psalm 22. But you know, the point there is that that's what they would sing. That's what God inspired as a songbook. That there are a variety of different songs and genres and ways that the Psalter shows us approach to God in prayer and in worship. Sometimes it's praise, right? There's praise psalms, but there's also psalms of lament, deep cries of affliction and hardship. And I would say, and I would make the case that in the course of the Old Testament, when you study somebody like David in the wilderness as he's being attacked by Saul, we see a real growth and development. Some of his best psalms of growth, some of his best prayers of maturity and understanding of God and who he is are captured in those deep psalms of lament when everything in life is falling apart. And there, I think we're learning something about prayer. We need the Lord. We need him every day. But the reality is that when I think I've said before on Abounding Grace, we love to ride on the kingdom, into the kingdom, into heaven on a couch. And that's not life. We least depend upon the Lord when everything is going well. So when these valleys come in God's providence, when the hardships come, when the trials, there we are on our knees in our closets, crying out to the Lord and sounding a lot more like the Psalter. It's not always a praise song in life. And sometimes that's very deceptive, isn't it? Sometimes it's deceptive to come in and act like everything's just great and everything has to be happy and everything has to be up and there can be no tears in Christianity. That's deceptive for the real struggle of people. So there you go. I think there's a real challenge that we find in the scriptures with regard to prayer, and why there's so much shallow superficiality is because our prayers don't sound a lot like the scriptural prayers that are given to us. That's why I tell the people, look, if you're struggling with prayer, read the Psalms and pray them back. That's some of the best prayers you'll ever pray. God inspired them, right?
There's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? You know, you're going through something more often than not, and more likely than not, David went through. Go to what he's written. That's a great place to start.
Right. And think of David with his terrible sin with Bathsheba. You know, I was just thinking, if I can pull it up here quickly, I'll get it here in a minute. David committed a terrible sin of murder and adultery. We know the sin of David and Bathsheba. It's all over the scriptures. Everyone knows. Think of the beautiful psalms that he wrote in the midst of that. Psalm 51 and Psalm 32 are psalms of confession. Now, there's another type of psalm that is very important. A confession where he's pouring out his heart saying, "God, I've sinned against you. Be merciful to me. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from all my sin." Those are very important parts of true prayer. And that's something I think that is often lost today too, that in the midst of these great hardships of life, but also our sins that rise up against us. I mean, think about that truth.
"Create in me a clean heart, O God, and restore to me a right spirit."
Yes.
We don't do that anymore, do we?
No, and I think that's why it's so important to remember that prayer should include that. I mean, think of what kind of prayer? This is the next question and answer in the Heidelberg Catechism on Lord's Day 45. What is the kind of prayer that pleases God and that he listens to? What another great question, right? That's a warm question. That's a good, what does God love to hear from us? What does he want us to talk to him about? Because prayer is talking with God. First, we must pray from the heart. No, that's another thing. We're not just form praying without thinking. We are praying from the heart. That is from the core of who we are, with all of our faculties, to know other than the one true God revealed to us in his word, asking for everything God has commanded us to ask for. And then listen to what it says. Secondly, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Well, that's exactly what David was doing, recognizing his need and his misery, asking God for help. And God did that. I said Psalm 40 here. I want to read that. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. Think of this prayer. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation, O Lord. I've not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. But this was the verse I wanted to focus on. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. For, listen to this, evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Andy, that is so wonderful to read. He is saying, I have found myself in this period of life where I have fallen into struggles with sin, so much sin that it's overtaken me. I can't handle it. I can't get up. I'm a mess. And Lord, you have promised to preserve me. Don't restrain your mercy from me. I know your steadfast love and faithfulness will ever preserve me. What you constantly see in the prayers is the people rehearsing the very promises of God in the midst of all of their hardships and even receiving, as they're praying, perspective changes. It's just a beautiful thing that happens. And it's sad that we neglect this great duty, but what a privilege it is to come to the Lord with these kinds of struggles. I have a few passages to go to here, but maybe you have something you want to ask.
Actually, as you read that, my heart immediately goes to this one thought and idea that for so many, prayer is a moment in time that is nothing more than a routine that is void of any relationship. And you go through the Psalms and yes, you see the struggles and you see the joys and you see the highs and the lows, but through it all, you get this profound sense that David is intimate with his God. These are conversations between two lovers and the utter dependence. And I think we've lost sight of the fact that this is what prayer really is. It's an utter dependence upon someone you love intimately. He who is forgiven much loves much. And like we started our program out with today, that Father who's given you everything, man, what an intimate relationship you have with that Father. How much more so the God of this universe?
Right. And I think, that's not something you conjure or work up. It's not an artificial emotion. It's not something you can even create. The reality is I think the story of Jacob is super instructive in that regard. He was really a deceiver and a rebel and a knucklehead the whole course of his life in his early years. And what you get from him is this: God is pursuing him and loving him, and Jacob is doing his own will. Jacob is, his name means deceitful, And he's doing whatever. He's deceiving people, he's deceiving his brother, he's deceiving his uncle. There nothing good is going on. And even though he was deceived by Laban too. But the point is David was not walking with the Lord all until one day when the Lord dislocated him and changed his name and said, "You are no longer Jacob, but Israel." And that's sort of what has to happen for what you just described, for there to be that communion that you're talking about, that intimacy, that trust in the Lord. He really has to dislocate us. That really, the Lord has to bring it into us, and we have to be raised brand new. And when we are, then we start to see what you're talking about, the sweetness, the beauty, the love, the grace, the gospel, the steadfast mercy of the Lord. And those concepts, those truths overtake us, and they birth out of us cries of thanks and deep intimacy with the God who has loved us this way, knowing that we haven't deserved anything. But that's why I think the Heidelberg is saying there, you have to first come to a knowledge of your need and misery. Until you understand how great the grace of God is in your life, until you understand how marvelous the cross is, and until you know what Jesus has really accomplished for you, that you'll never have that kind of intimacy and that kind of desire to talk to God in the way that the Psalms reflect. It is the gospel that has to get a hold of us. It is the good news of Christ's love, knowing that we have been terrible failures and that God loves us, washes us, cleanses us, lifts us up, and gives us a new existence. That's the good news that motivates us to thank God.
And that is at the heart of prayer. That's the foundation that we have laid for you today here on Abounding Grace for Prayer. Chris, I think we should spend some time in our next broadcast developing this even further and helping folks lay down some of these foundations that we've talked about today to boost their prayer life. And maybe something else we can deal with, prayers that God will not hear.
Right. That's good. And maybe we can, in the next time, deal with Philippians 4, which is a wonderful call to prayer and how God does answer and help us. And that's something that, you know, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. He then says, God will do something for you. And that might be a wonderful thing to explore. And then, of course, prayers he will not hear would be another good subject too.
Well, there are so many facets of prayer that need to be explored, and so we will continue this topic next time we get together. We trust you'll make it a point to join us as we grow in our understanding of our relationship with God and the access we have to Him through this medium called prayer. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Well, in closing our time together today, I'm reminded of other resource materials we have available at our website that would complement what we've heard today. agradio.org is a great place to go if you would like to know more about us and take advantage of other resource materials we have there. And if you have a question that you would like to address Pastor Chris with, maybe today's broadcast has sparked a thought or two, a question, please, by all means, send it off to us. Now, you can either email that to us through our website, agradio.org, or better yet, voice it through your voice memo app. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then send that to questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. You're also welcome to reach us by phone. The number is 888-504-8805. Abounding Grace Radio is also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you prefer to follow. One final note as we close out our program today, we are listener-supported, which means friends of the ministry come alongside and partner with us financially and prayerfully, ensuring that this program continues right here on this radio station. You see, we look to friends like you to help ensure that this broadcast continues to spread the gospel of grace wherever we're at. If you would like to be a part of that, a small gift, large gift, one-time or an ongoing monthly gift, we'd love to hear from you. agradio.org, you can give securely online, 888-504-8805, or write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732. Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Well, as we close out our time together today, let's return to Pastor Chris once again, shall we? We'll take a sneak peek at what we can expect next time we're together, looking once again at prayer.
There are times when we will come to the Lord and pour out our hearts because we're in deep despair, and our words are very few, and we're hurting. But in general, We should not just come to the Lord as a sort of cosmic genie. We should come praising Him, acknowledging Him.
You ever find yourself struggling in your prayer life? Well, we would invite you to join us again. That is tomorrow here on Abounding Grace as we take a look once again at prayer, how to be encouraged in this life of prayer that God has blessed us with. Again, that's tomorrow on Abounding Grace. Join us then. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. Escondidourc.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.